I am vengeance. I am the night. I am...
Crap, totally forgot. What's his name?
Genesis.
Genesis.
The band.
I thought you were Cameron.
No.
Well,
you're not? Yeah.
Well, yeah, but
I'm no. confused. He just needs a lozenge.
Oh. Bat. I should have one of those in my bag.
No, it's
Bat Flack.
It's Bat... Yeah. No? Crap, I forgot.
What, Ben Affleck?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Ben Affleck.
Why are we talking about... Damon!
Yeah.
Matt Damon.
Why are we talking about them?
We're the worst people.
We are the worst. We are the Nerd Dump. Hey, everybody. And welcome to the show. I am Cameron. With me tonight is the Robin to my Batman, Cody. Hey. And also the Red Hood to my Batman.
That makes sense.
Steve
because
Tony.
I kill people.
And also, you were murdered by a clown and resurrected by a Superboy punching a wall.
Actually, I didn't actually get resurrected. It was just I time traveled back to a different point and that body disappeared because I changed some different incidents and then I just kind of stepped into those shoes again and just kind of made it seem like I was resurrected. It's just time travel. Which, speaking of weird time travel things... There's a new show on Hulu, The Future Man.
Have you watched that?
I watched the first episode, and I don't like it, but I think you would love it.
Okay, I was going to watch it.
Because it's got time travel and stupidity and lots of dumb stuff happening.
Good.
So you'll love it.
Good.
I don't think I could stomach watching anymore.
I'm looking forward to it.
That's a winning endorsement. I don't know if I could stomach this. You would love it.
I can't, but I know what Cody likes.
I bet you do.
Like wearing his paper mache Iron Man mask, like he's doing right now, that you guys can't see.
You can't see.
Can they hear me?
I don't know. Can you hear him?
Looks like it.
Nod if you can hear him.
Based on my ability to see sound, it looks
and
like
it. And if you just nodded, that's kind of weird.
The entire internet just nodded.
Yeah, probably.
Welcome to the Nerd Dump Podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about Batman, the animated series.
Yes, that's the guy's name. Which I already said that, but...
You did?
Robin to his Batman.
Yeah, so I killed the joke.
Which Robin? Which Robin?
Well, I'm the Red Hood Robin.
I'm fine with not being Jason Todd. Which Robin?
You're the girl?
Yeah, you're Stephanie Brown.
Okay.
Good. So, as you may or may not know, not last month, but September was the 25th anniversary of Batman the Animated Series.
And we like to be timely, so we waited until November.
Because we're smart.
Yeah, now to be fair, it was probably on for about 2 months before I actually started watching it on a regular basis, so it's totally timely.
I mean, I know I watched it. I'm not a Batman fan. I'm not a DC fan, as most of you would know. But I did watch Batman the Animated Series a lot, just because I did enjoy it. I like cartoons.
And let's face it, it is a quality cartoon.
And it actually showed Batman getting beat up a lot by people that shouldn't be able to beat him up, like, all the time. Like, he'd be in fistfights with, like, random mundane people, and they'd be like, kicking the crap out of him. It was great.
Are you confusing the cartoon with the old, like, series in the 30s? Because that totally did happen.
No, I mean, like, I rewatched the first season again this last week.
Okay.
And, it was hilarious how much just random... I mean, yeah, they were, like, the henchmen, so, I mean, I'm sure they could fight a little bit. But not to the par that Batman should be at. So...
Yeah.
I mean, Batman won, of course.
Ultimately.
But it was just like, wow, these guys are, you know, kicking Batman around. This is great.
Yep, that is true. No, there was an old, like, not silent, but it was a black and white series back in, like, the 30s or 40s. And that was basically the show. Batman and Robin were constantly getting the crap beat out of them by just regular gangsters. There were no villains whatsoever. It was also really, really bad. Unlike this cartoon, which was pretty much amazing, and to this day, I think it's probably the best take on Batman that we've had. Even as good as the Nolan films are, still think this is, for me, this is definitely my Batman.
There you go, now you're a spider. You have 8 eyes.
Now I have 9.
You are bad at math.
Yep. I can't actually see how many are still up there.
No, no, it's fine. It's
you can't see your own eyes.
You put 7 on you, so you got
9.
You should do you want to explain what you're doing?
I found some googly eyes, and I have been attaching them to my face.
Because we're professionals.
I'm tired, guys.
Well,
you shouldn't have ate. What is this? Like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? I don't know. There's a lot of wrappers of candy up here.
We're still going through our Halloween candy here at the Nerd Dump office.
Yep. We're real bad at that.
And by word, it's all Cody.
Yeah. I'm still going through our Halloween candy here at the Nerd Dump office. It snowed, so we didn't have as many trick-or-treaters as we were planning.
I was surprised at how many people were actually out trick-or-treating.
Right.
Because it was so freaking cold out.
Anyway.
Yep.
So today we're going to be talking about the
Batman animated series.
Batman animated series.
Said that.
And Cameron's going to go over some history of its existence, correct, Cameron?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
So this was very much inspired kind of by the Tim Burton Batman films. It definitely was more in tone with the films because they were much darker up until that point. Most people, unless you read the comics, most people knew Batman as, like, a little more campy because of the 60s TV show.
Right.
And Super Friends and Superpowers and the other cartoons that were on. Also, he teamed up with Scooby-Doo quite a bit.
Yeah, I remember those episodes.
I do, too. They were fun, but they were a little bit weird.
They were Scooby-Doo episodes.
They were Scooby-Doo episodes, exactly.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, Scooby-Doo's teamed up with a lot. People.
It wasn't it Adam West as Batman teaming up with Scooby-Doo?
Yep, it was those versions of Batman and Robin. I think they voiced them every time.
Yeah, I think so too.
Didn't actually Adam West voice one of the characters that teamed up with Batman?
He did.
What
actually,
was it like yeah. The Grey Ghost
the
or Grey something
Ghost.
Like that?
Yep, that was actually a really really good episode.
It was.
Because I had a list of ones to talk about, and I kind of forgot
I just thought it was
that
funny
particular
you know,
one.
Batman technically teamed up with Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that was the whole idea behind the episode, where he meets his childhood idol.
Never meet your heroes!
Nope. Actually, well, in that case, it worked out. It worked out better for both of them, because
yeah.
Batman met his hero, and Grey Ghost became, well, a media sensation again. But yeah, the Batman was a lot darker than most, I would say most kids' cartoons at the time. It was definitely a little more mature, not necessarily in like adult content, because there really wasn't a whole lot of that, but it was definitely...
Not swear words and explosions. As
well, explosions, but...
Yeah.
And really not swearing, but they did say, oh my God, or good Lord, a lot, which you never really heard in cartoons at that point either. So that was always a little strange to hear in something like that.
It came up.
You lost an eyeball.
Yeah.
But, put it on your beard.
It'll work. They're not sticky. It's just my face grease that keeps them on.
That's gross.
Yeah.
You should bathe.
No, thanks.
Not right now.
I'm attempting something.
We're here. That's awkward.
Batman!
Well, it's a good thing we're not getting off topic at all.
No.
So, but that's, I didn't really have anything as far as, like, the history goes, as far as, you know, how they got started with it. I think it was just that...
It was Batman, so one of the more recognized characters. They made a series. It went really well.
Mm-hmm.
This is the series that actually brought about Harley Quinn, right?
Yeah. Yeah, this is actually, that's actually one thing to talk about, is that this actually has a lot of introductions to things that are in the comics and are just in regular media now, like Harley Quinn. This is where she was introduced. She was just sort of a one-off character, but, you know, fans liked her so much that she became a recurring character. She was actually in almost as many episodes as the Joker, and actually featured more in a lot of those than he did.
She's only in like one episode in season one, though.
Yeah, and I think she's in the background mostly. When the series went on, I actually watched two episodes today that were not really Joker-centric, but she was happy to be in both of them.
Yeah, that's cool.
But yeah, she was... I liked her back then. I liked her before it was cool to like Harley Quinn.
Yeah, no, I mean, she was one of my favorite characters back then, like, but I also liked the Joker. But, so...
Yeah.
Just seeing that.
Yeah, Joker was definitely my favorite villain on the show. I thought Mark Hamill did his voice, if you're not familiar, and he's completely unrecognizable. Mm-hmm. I had no idea it was him. You don't hear his voice in the Joker, but you know, having played him for so long, I can't hear Mark Hamill just talk without hearing just a little bit of what the Joker
was. Like you hear him talk in the Last Jedi trailer, and it's like, why is the Joker in the Last Jedi trailer?
Yeah, I don't quite get that. No? But no, not.
It's like certain things he says every now and then. It's like, huh, that was the Joker. Weird. I don't have any specific examples.
Okay, fair enough. But no, I thought he delivered a great performance on that show. And that's really my favorite version of the Joker.
Yeah.
I don't like the more psychotic one that we get in the comics, actually, the various psychotic ones.
The ones that cuts off his own face and staples his face back on.
Yeah. I like that storyline, but that's not the Joker.
Right.
That is a very cool version of the Joker. But mine is definitely the funny, theatrical, insane version. But it is weird because I was watching Harley and Ivy today, which is one of my absolute favorites.
Right.
And it definitely very much implies that his relationship with Harley Quinn is an abusive one.
Of course, which 100% abusive.
Oh yeah, no, it totally is.
No one should ever want to be that.
Absolutely, but it's just weird that they have that in a kids' cartoon.
Yeah.
And again, it doesn't make me not like that version of the Joker, but at the same time, it makes me not like that version of the Joker.
Right.
But
I've always been a firm believer that the Joker is incapable of human connections.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm fine with it. He's not a person in my mind, you know?
Yeah.
He's a force of chaotic evil.
Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah. But Joker and Harley definitely my favorite villains. What about you guys? Yeah, I know you said you like
Harley. I mean, I like Harley Quinn, but I like a lot of the random villains.
Mm-hmm.
Like not necessarily the main ones. Some that just kind of pop up here and there. I really enjoyed the Clock King, and I mean, I know the Mad Hatter is a fairly decent reoccurring Batman villain for all the things. I don't know about the actual animated series necessarily, but
right.
I've always just kind of liked him. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a huge Batman fan or anything, so there's not like a ton that are just like, oh, this is so great.
Right.
I did enjoy watching season one over again this last week just to refresh myself on few episodes, because season one had my favorite episode in it, which when we get to that, I'll enjoy talking about.
Right.
Fair enough. Cody, what about you?
I've always been a fan of Batman's more kind of tragic villains. Like, Joker's his own thing. Sure, he's cool. I like Dr. Freeze, Mr. Freeze.
Mm-hmm.
With his whole storyline, that they very much give him make him feel like a relatable character in this series compared to some other storytellings where he's just a lunatic with an ice gun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No idea what you're talking about.
I'm also a big fan of Clayface in this series. This is the first time I remember ever seeing anything about Clayface.
Yeah.
And I like his power set, I think, more so than what they did with his character as much. Although there was that one episode with the little girl, which was really, really interesting.
Tell us about that one.
There was the episode where Clayface broke a piece of him off and it became a tiny person.
Yep.
I don't know the name of the episode. I haven't seen it recently.
Yeah, that's fair.
But that was a really good one. And then Two-Face. How they do the Two-Face storyline in the animated series.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was surprised at how much Harvey Dent was...
Yeah, before he was
he was Two-Face, was in the series.
Yeah.
Like, just, you know, he was there. He was hanging out with Bruce. They were doing different things. Right. I mean, like, Poison Ivy poisoned him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know? So it's just like, oh, okay. But, I mean, like, there's just various times, like, he was there just chilling with Bruce.
Right.
Like, oh.
Just Harvey
Dent. I don't. Yeah. I didn't remember that from when I was younger watching the show.
I don't think anyone did from when they were kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that was definitely interesting because usually, you know, when they bring in a character like that, it's like, okay, they introduce a character and
same act one, episode he's a bad
and then yeah, but yeah. No, they actually, and that was actually when I was reading about it, that was intentional. They knew they were going to have Two-Face, so they introduced Harvey, kind of give him a little bit of backstory and actually give him a little development, so that way it made it more tragic.
Right.
And that was good. It wasn't like, here's a whole episode of backstory. And that's another thing that I like with a lot of the characters in this series is they don't go into a ton of backstory. Because
Poison Ivy... They don't assume their audience is stupid?
Yeah. I was like, Poison Ivy, they don't like... I mean, the most that they do, it's like 5 years ago, you just see her pick up a plant to save it because, you know, they're doing stuff, and then they go in the future, and she's Poison Ivy. It's like,
yeah.
She just is.
Yeah.
Like, all these different people, when Catwoman appears, they don't say how she became Catwoman.
Right.
Like,
right.
I mean, some of the characters, like Clayface, you know, they do have a little bit of background, bit, yeah. But I mean, it was a two-part episode when he was first brought in, and, you know, obviously there's a lot more with Harvey Dent becoming Two-Face, but... Right. It wasn't like, here's a whole episode of him becoming this. It's like, here's a reoccurring character.
Right.
He becomes Two-Face.
Uh-huh.
They don't show how Scarecrow becomes Scarecrow. They don't show a lot of them. I mean, the Mad Hatter episode, he, you know, kind of shifts into it. But it's like, he was kind of crazy already.
Yeah.
And it's not like, oh, here's this whole thing, and here's how he becomes this, and here's this.
Here's how he creates the technology.
Yeah. It's just like, he's already got the technology to do this stuff, because he works at a lab for Bruce Wayne, and, you know, he just uses the stuff to get Alice, and loses her, and goes even crazier, you know?
God, that was a tragic villain, too. I like what they did with him.
You think that's where they got the story idea for the Riddler in Batman Returns? Or no?
Or Batman Forever?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, it definitely feels like that. Sounds
very much Riddler-y from that movie.
Yeah, Riddler, and he had an origin story in the cartoon, too. And I think they kind of took that plus Mad Hatter's origin and threw it into Batman Forever. And that's how we got the Jim Carrey Riddler.
Plus Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Big old dose of Jim Carrey.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That was more crazy than
it's really just
thought out, old dose methodical. Honestly, that was really the main reason I wasn't fond of that Riddler, the Jim Carrey one, was because it's like, it doesn't seem like the Riddler. It seems more like a crazy person.
Yeah.
And I mean, obviously, villains are usually somewhat crazy, but it's like, the Riddler is supposed to be more... methodical, thought out, plans of stuff, does, you know, he's not just like, oh, just fly by the seat of my pants and be crazy.
Nope.
Like, that's the Joker.
Yeah, that is that. I've heard people say that before, that was Jim Carrey doing the Joker, and that Two-Face in that movie was, what's his name?
A little bit of Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah, Tommy Lee Jones also doing the Joker. I actually heard people saying it's Tommy Lee Jones doing Jim Carrey doing the Joker.
Fair enough.
I totally get that, and I hate it so much.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that movie. Yeah. My roommate actually loves that movie and loves those characters.
It's a good camp movie.
Yeah.
It's an okay camp movie. It's Batman and Robin is a fun camp movie.
I was going to say...
I've come to appreciate that one a lot more.
As much as I don't like how they changed the characters for those, I do have to say, in all those Batman movies, I love Arnold Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze, even though it's nothing of how it should have been.
Right.
Cheesy one-liners and not the cool, collective person that's just trying to save his wife.
Right.
But it's like, I still loved it.
Right.
Yeah.
He's so Arnold Schwarzenegger.
As cheesy as it was.
He's a fun guy.
Yeah. As cheesy as it was for him to be Mr. Freeze, it was awesome.
Yeah.
That and I didn't like Uma Thurman as Poison Ivy.
No, she was
like,
awful.
That was... I didn't like really any of the villains in that other.
You didn't like weird Bane that looked like an inflatable man?
Yeah, no. I mean, within all those movie series, like, I mean, I did like Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman. Yeah. I did like Danny DeVito as the Penguin.
Yeah.
But, I mean, those ones were more serious. And, like, I didn't quite understand. It's like, serious, serious, funny, funny. It's like, what are you doing?
They needed to sell more McDonald's toys, so yep. They switched the director.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fair enough.
Yep. And I think it was because they did... You know, I'm not a big fan of Batman Returns, but I think they did a decent job of portraying Penguin mm-hmm. and Catwoman. That's why they didn't get Origins.
Yeah.
Same with the Joker. And actually, they refer to him by... his Jack Nicholson's character's name before he becomes the Joker. So they kind of almost make parts of the Tim Burton films canon.
Yep.
Except for the fact that they don't die.
Right.
Yeah.
It was interesting because in the very first episode, Batman sees Catwoman for the first time. Though they don't really explain her origin. They just assume that you know kind of
Catwoman exists.
Yeah. Basically.
I mean, there's a world where there's a guy dressing up as a giant bat running around mm-hmm. the city. You can assume there are other people dressed up as animals running around the city.
Yeah, exactly. But, no, I think when they did the origin stories, they did them really well. Mm-hmm. Like you said, they didn't do a whole lot, but...
Yeah,
there were,
they did enough.
Yeah. And there were episodes which did kind of focus more like the Mr. Freeze episode, mm-hmm. which that was really the first time that he ever had an origin.
Yep.
Before then, he was just a crazy guy with an ice gun.
Yep.
In the comics, he never had a backstory until then, and it stands out as one of the best.
It's what I think of when I think of Mr. Freeze.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely,
Dr. Professor Freeze. I assume he has a PhD.
Right? I think so.
Well, yeah, he worked at some laboratory, right, so I'm sure he was something smart.
Probably got it taken away when he started, you know, robbing banks and freezing people. But I thought they did a really good job with the villains. That was part of what, because when I initially watched the show, mm-hmm. it was that first episode, The Cat and the Claw, which was a two-parter,
mm-hmm.
and it was just okay.
Right.
It wasn't. I don't think it's the show that they should have started with, because it just wasn't story-wise. It wasn't that interesting. It didn't keep my attention, so I just didn't.
I liked it.
I like it now, but back then, it just wasn't for me. It wasn't until I started, I think I looked at either, it might have been a Wizard magazine that had a spread of all the villains, mm-hmm. and I'm like, oh, Joker, I know him, he's cool.
Right.
Riddler, he's cool. Who the hell is Two-Face?
Yeah.
What is Clayface? What is Killer Croc? I didn't know probably half of those villains, just because I didn't read the comics. I only knew... the Tim Burton films and the 60s TV show. So if you weren't in any of those,
right.
I probably didn't know who you were.
Makes sense.
So, you know, finding out, you know, who Clayface was and seeing his origin mm-hmm. Was just really cool. Scarecrow, I thought, was awesome.
Scarecrow's mm-hmm. really underused, I mm-hmm. feel like. Because he's pretty cool. I mean, he was the bad guy in Batman Begins, kind of.
Yeah.
But... and then he was literally in all the other Batman movies.
Which I loved.
Which I did too. That's what I like mm-hmm. in movies. Reoccurring villains. Because
mm-hmm. yeah.
if you don't kill them, they should come back.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't just kill them every time.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Unless you're the Punisher, then it's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. So, no, I thought that was really great. I also thought Scarecrow could have been like his... I mean, if it weren't for the Joker, I think he could have been like his arch nemesis.
Yep.
But he was kind of incompetent at the same time.
Aren't they all?
Yeah, but that does lead to one of the episodes, because I figure we can talk about some of our favorites. One of the ones that really stands out, and it's one that was really confusing to me when I first saw it, and I think a lot of other fans were too. It was later in the show, and the episode opens, Batgirl is dead.
Yeah.
And apparently Batman and I think it's Batman and Nightwing are on the run.
Yep.
Commissioner Gordon is after them.
Yep.
And it's like, what is going on? It is a mind trip of an episode.
Right.
And
he hires Bane, if I remember correctly.
I believe. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, he does. So this whole time, you know, Batgirl's dead. Commissioner Gordon blames Batman. He knows who he is.
Right.
And you get nothing other than this just like nightmare of an episode. And it turns out that it is Batman's worst fear.
Yep.
and that it's actually Scarecrow put him.
Did he fear thing? Or yeah. Fear coma.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah.
No.
I haven't seen that one in a long time, so I don't have a lot of details for you. But
no, and I was just thinking, was it Batman's worst fear? Or was it Batgirl's? Because I don't remember.
I think
now.
It was Batman's.
Okay.
But I'm not sure.
Because I know we actually do see her. I mean, she's dead at the beginning of the episode.
Gordon's?
No.
No, because then he would have had them. No, no, no.
Yeah. No, it was. What was cool about it is the fact that. What was I going to say?
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know either.
It was what was cool about it.
You actually see Batgirl die.
Yeah.
Which is, I wouldn't say that's cool.
That's
but
so
it was,
cool.
Yay, killing characters.
Well, it was just the fact that they got away with that.
Right.
Because you didn't know what was actually happening.
You didn't know it was all
so,
fake.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so, seeing her die was like pretty shocking.
Right.
But it was just a really good, really dark episode, but just brilliantly made. And then I did have a couple others, but which ones did you guys? You said you had a favorite.
I do have a favorite, and I love it for various reasons, and you'll understand soon. But it's the episode I've Got Batman in My Basement. It's the one where there's this young boy that wants to be a detective, and he's got this friend that she's, you know, they're playing around or whatever, and there's a couple other boys that are kind of being bullies to him.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
So they take off, and he's playing with his new junior detective set, and they end up seeing the Penguin break in and steal a Faberge egg.
That's what As he does. Money.
'Cause, you know,
yep.
Egg,
penguin,
yeah.
Yeah.
He's a bird.
Bird, egg, bird.
And Batman, like, kind of is like, saves them because
right.
the vulture that Penguin had was coming after them, and so he kind of gets them to go out, and Penguin ends up, like, hitting him with some weird gas that, like, pretty much is like a trank gas or something.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so the kids end up saving Batman, and they take him back to his house, and so he takes Batman down, puts him in the basement on his couch, and Batman's trying to tell him, you know, it's like, get me, like, he says, I'm trying to remember exactly how he words it, but I think he says, like, capsule or something, and they're like, what? No, you're in my basement. And he's like, visor. And it's like, what? What are you talking about? And Batman passes out. Well, the vulture that's working for Penguin ends up kind of, you know, like seeing where they took him and everything. And the Penguin shows up and starts attacking, and they're trying to fight off, but they end up finding the visor and the Batmobile that has the capsules. And he takes it and gives it to Batman, and Batman finally starts to come to, and they all help Batman take down the Penguin. But I love the fact that Batman gets taken out.
Right.
He's left to rely on children to save him.
Yep.
It's just so great, in my opinion. I just, there's nothing like seeing Batman get beaten. And then you don't have to rely on just kids to save him.
Naturally.
Well, that was a really fun episode to see as a kid, too.
Yeah, because, I mean, they were doing little things, setting up traps, you know, because it wasn't just the Penguin. He had a couple goons with him.
Right. Right.
And they're doing the whole, you know, Home Alone style, you know, let's have these little trap things and let's do whatever. And they kind of get the one up on Penguin for a little bit. And it's just a really good episode, in my opinion, because, you know, these kids are fighting and actually kind of keeping the Penguin back until Batman can come to and actually wake up. And
right.
Then I love the fact that when the mom comes home, she starts freaking out because the house is trashed. She's like, what's going on? And then all of a sudden she goes downstairs to the basement, and then there's Batman and Penguin and his goons are tied up. And
right.
It's like, oh. And then he's all like, hey, Batman, you single? I love the fact when the kid asked him that. It's just like, ah, that's great. Trying to hook his mama with Batman.
I forgot that part.
As one does.
That was a really fun episode.
Yep. My turn?
Yep.
A lot of my favorite episodes have to do with new characters I didn't know about when I was a kid, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
So I've kind of already mentioned a few of them, like the introduction of Two-Face.
Yeah.
The introduction of Mr. Freeze. The first time we meet Clayface. A lot of his bad guys have the name Face in it, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
The whole Ra's al Ghul arc.
Yeah, he was also a villain I didn't
know anything about. Knew nothing about him before that. I'm like, oh, that's cool. So a lot of my favorite episodes, I think if I had to pick one that I can remember being like, yeah, that's really good, that's good storytelling, would probably be the Mr. Freeze episode, the introduction, where they go over his whole why he's Mr. Freeze, hoodness of it.
Mm-hmm.
There were some other good ones, like the card game one. I don't know names of episodes.
If it's the one I'm thinking of, that was actually one of my favorites.
Okay, I'll let you
almost,
cover that.
Almost Got Him. Was that the one you were...
I think
was,
so.
Is it the one that
yeah,
all the
yeah. You cover that one.
I watched that one again just today, and I forgot how clever it is.
That's a really good one.
It is really good. And Batman is barely even in it.
Yep.
Because it's all told from the point of view of his...
His rogues.
Some of his rogues. Joker, Penguin, Two-Face, Poison Ivy... and Killer Croc are all on a card game talking about reminiscing how they each of them almost got Batman.
Yep.
Basically they're you know measuring their masculinity.
Right.
Except for Poison Ivy,
victory,
of course. But
points.
Yeah. Exactly. it's a pissing contest.
Yes.
Better way of putting it.
Right.
But I love the ending to that because it's like The only thing that saved Batman from the Joker was glides away and she's like, almost got him.
Yep.
It's like, okay, that's brilliant.
Yep, this is a really good episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Paul Dini is he's one of the showrunners of the show, and he wrote a lot of those really good episodes.
Right.
He like that one, Heart of Ice. The other episode I watched, which is Harley and Ivy.
Right.
He did a lot of those. And
those are like the best ones.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep. And Harley and Ivy is another one that was for me probably the best Harley Quinn episode.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it not only did it develop her character, at the same time it made her almost one of his more tragic villains in that she knows the Joker's bad. She wants to get away, but she also doesn't want to get away.
Which is, I think that episode probably lent a lot to, in the comic books, how Harley and Poison Ivy kind of start dating at a certain point in the comics.
Yep.
And I think it probably built from that episode.
Oh,
specifically.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this. I mean, the series in general is a big influence on Batman in general.
Right.
But definitely a lot of the relationships and dynamics that we've seen over the years really owe credit to this cartoon.
Yeah.
Because Harley and Ivy wouldn't really be a thing unless...
Yeah.
Except for that episode, which there's no real romantic anything.
Right.
It's just they have a very Thelma and Louise kind of dynamic where they're going on their own. They're becoming the queens of crime. And in the end, of course, they get caught. But
of course. It's a Batman cartoon.
Exactly. But it's... I don't know. It's just really cool that... It was very... pro-feminism episode, which is really cool. And that's, again, that's not something you would see a lot of.
No.
In
definitely
90s. Not the early 90s.
Yeah, really not even that much anymore now. Well, there's more stuff now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was definitely not seen a whole lot.
No.
Yeah, I still, my favorite episodes are the ones where Batman's getting kicked around, which surprisingly happens a lot. Like, random thugs just getting the upper hand on him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because there's the episode where there's the like Bruce Wayne's like donating stuff to like some homeless shelter, and they're talking about things, and the guy's like, yeah, you know, there's been guys that have turned up missing. He's like, even one of the guys that comes and volunteers kind of like at soup kitchen, whatever.
Uh-huh.
So Bruce Wayne goes undercover as like a homeless guy kind of wandering around, and you know, a couple guys pop out to kidnap him, and it's like he kind of dispatches the first couple guys real quick, and then the third guy just hits him over the head. Yeah. And it's like, wow, Batman went down like a chump. Mm-hmm. So I was like, this is great. I mean, because I like seeing Batman go down.
Of course.
But then, you know, wakes up in a chain gang, working at a mine, and he has amnesia, doesn't know who he is, and of course, nobody recognizes him because he still has his hair, like, a different color or something.
Yeah, he
like
donned
that.
He donned a disguise, so he's got, like, this fake stubble, well, which is actually apparently
real.
I don't know if he still had the stubble on or whatever,
like, but he had gray hair or something like that, but... You know, he doesn't know who he is, and so he ends up trying to help people, and but, like, can't remember anything. Uh-huh. And so, you know, he tries to kind of fight back at one point, but some of the other people are like, no, don't do it, you know, so he doesn't, and basically has, like, nightmares or whatever, and eventually kind of remembers some stuff, and then remembers who he is, and during this whole time, Alfred has to come save him, and Alfred tries to fly the Bat jet and is like, yeah. Freaking out the whole time. It was awesome. But, you know, of course, Batman won in the end, like he always does and everything. But it's still fun to just kind of see him get kicked in the teeth and just, it's like, ha, you're losing. It's like, and it's not like the big villains are the ones beating him up all the time. It's like these little thug hooligan guys that shouldn't be able to stand toe-to-toe with Batman. But they're the ones in this cartoon that are usually punching and kicking him to the ground and actually beating him in fights. And it's like, because like they actually win the fights, because a lot of times they end up tying him up or they do whatever, they kidnap him.
Yeah, they don't have gimmicks. They're not trying to one-up on Batman. They want him dead.
Yeah.
So, whereas the majority of the villains, well, I mean, the majority of the villains want to kill him. But
they
want to
do it in a certain way.
Exactly.
I always liked the cartoon because of similar to what you're saying. I think Batman is closer to a human in this cartoon than he is in almost any other thing he's ever in.
Oh, and unlike a lot of the comic books, it's not like he would be like, oh, I've got the perfect thing in my utility belt for every situation.
Shark repellent spray.
it's just...
real.
Mm-hmm. But it's still, it's one of those things where he seems a little bit more believable. I mean... I still, at times, wonder where his gas mask comes from and all his grappling gun things, because it's like, you've got this little, super tight utility belt.
Yeah.
It's not like it's got big pouches on it. It's it's really thin.
And he keeps it in the back under the cape.
And then, because, you know, there's times when people will kidnap him, do whatever, and, like, they take his belt off of him. And it's you see how thin and small
that's
it is.
That's true. Yeah.
And then he doesn't have any other gear.
No, I think that everything he has is in pieces in different compartments.
Yeah, but
so he's just put them all together.
But it's funny because, like, you know, something happened and he'll just pull out, like, a breathing mask or a gas mask or something. And it's funny, too, how many times he gets gassed and is sitting there kind of like, ugh, choking, when it's like, dude, you've got a mask.
You always have a mask.
Pull it out. Put it on. And you'll be fine. And he gets knocked out by the gas because he doesn't try to pull out his gas mask. I was like, huh. Hooray! Comic book logic. But, you know.
There is some comic book logic, but otherwise, yeah, it's a very grounded take on Batman as a character.
As much as a billionaire wearing a bat suit fighting crime is grounded.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
with the small boy in the red tights.
Although he's like in college. He's not really a small boy.
Depends on which bat, Robin, we're going with.
Because the one that they have, because in the first season, he's only in like two episodes. Yeah. But like the second one, it's another one with Scarecrow. It's the Fear of Victory or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But because he's in his college dorm room when his buddy, that's the football athlete, gets this telegram and has the powder on the letter. And he's like, well, this is weird. And he hands it to Robin, and Robin reads it. And then... they both get affected by the stuff because, you know, they didn't know that Robin was going to end up with it.
Mm-hmm.
But the Scarecrow's handing out letters to people, and so, like, they hold the envelope and they don't realize that they get the powder on them, and then once the adrenaline gets kicked in or whatever, that's when it activates.
Right.
So.
I assume that one's probably Dick Grayson.
That's Dick Grayson. Because he was in a lot of the episodes later on.
Because they have a couple different Robins throughout the series.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because like I said, he's the only one in the first series section.
Yeah.
Yep,
watching.
Yeah. They did a good...
But like I said, he was in college, so...
He was. And then we do get his origin story. His, again, was another two-parter. but his was much more in line with what they did in the comics, mm-hmm. as opposed to having Two-Face, you know, kill his
right.
movie. His origin was really good too, but and they did kind of touch on what they did in the movie, where what was that?
I don't know.
Okay,
we'll just ignore it. Keep going.
All right, it might have been Batmite,
right?
Who never appeared in the cartoon is probably a good thing.
Yeah,
makes up what's weird.
But yeah. No, I like the fact that they had Robin as a kid and he wanted revenge on the bad guy,
right?
And eventually, through Batman's tutelage, realized that no, there's a better way.
Yeah.
So, which that was, I think I really like those moments where they do develop the characters, even though they're in little ways.
Right.
They're not just stagnant throughout the whole series. But as far as the show, like we've talked about how it's influenced the comics and mm-hmm. media and you know, movies, of course, but, do you guys think that it's had a bigger impact on like pulp culture in general?
I mean, obviously, like the big name DC characters like Batman and Superman are, I mean, those are the even people that don't know anything about comic books, don't care anything about it, still know who Batman and Superman are.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of those things. There've always been, you know, like T-shirts and things that you could get that had Batman on it.
Yeah.
So I mean, I don't know if it has a lot or not to do with pop culture, but I'm sure it has influenced it some.
Yeah. That's fair. I see it in like a lot of the cartoons that we've gotten today.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we would have
nowadays. Yeah.
Definitely.
I mean, they did have a toy series for it, and they had other stuff.
Oh, yeah. I bought so many of those.
Right. Now, I think a lot of the people, a lot of the stuff that is writing current Batman
uh-huh.
grew up watching this cartoon.
Yeah.
So I think it has a lot of influence on what we're seeing nowadays, Batman-wise.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Plus, it's made up a lot of the characters that we're seeing nowadays, Batman-wise,
uh-huh.
like Harley Quinn and all that fun stuff.
Very true.
Which, and I mean, I know they had, like, the Batman Animated Series comic stuff, because one of the few DC comics that I've actually read is Harlequin's backstory and everything.
Mm-hmm. Mad Love.
Yeah.
Really,
I really actually like that a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember, in the animated series, is there actually, do they have that in that series? I don't remember.
Later on.
Okay, do they actually develop that? Okay.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't remember.
Yeah, they did. Well, one thing, I was going to talk about this a little later, but so the animated series had essentially three different incarnations. So from 92 to like 94, it was just the animated series. Then they rebranded it to The New Adventures of Batman and Robin because they wanted to market it more to kids, because of course it, you know, had a darker, more serious tone.
Right.
They wanted to sell more toys, which I was buying anyway at the time, so I'm fine with it. But then that went on for two more shorter seasons until, I think, 97 or 98 when they rebranded again to the Batman and Superman Hour. Because they just launched, the same creative team launched the Superman animated series,
right.
Which was also phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And then so they did Batman, but they did a complete redesign of all the characters.
Right.
Some were very subtle, like Harley Quinn. Some were a little more drastic, like Batman lost the yellow in his outfit.
Mm-hmm.
And the ears were a little pointier.
Right.
Joker lost his
eyes.
Yeah, his eyes. He just had these beady eyes.
Yeah.
No more lips. He had a really pointed, greenish face.
Right.
Poison Ivy was green, Killer Croc went green.
Yep.
But yeah, it was, I liked a lot of them just cause you know, change is cool.
Right.
And of course there were more toys for me to buy.
Of course.
But
that's the reason they changed them
exactly.
Probably.
But it was a little weird. The episodes were still good.
Same voices though.
For
most of them.
For most of them. I think they got a new Batgirl. And I thought they got a new Poison Ivy too, but
Mark Hamill was still Joker.
Mark Hamill was still the Joker. Yeah, And but the biggest change was they, Robin, got fed up with being Robin and like didn't like, you know, Batman's rules, and he didn't like the fact that they had a little bit of a relationship, Batman and Batgirl.
Right.
So he ended up leaving, abandoned his Robin alter ego and became Nightwing. And then that's how we got the second Robin, which, of course, in the comics, it's Jason Todd.
Right. They but just went straight to Tim Drake.
They went straight to Tim Drake. Yeah. Which I think was the right choice.
Instead of having him beaten to death.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, why don't you want to watch somebody get beat to death in a kid's cartoon?
Oh, no.
I mean, I like that. That's what makes me like kids' cartoons.
Kind of what they did. I mean, if you think about it, Batman Beyond kind of did that.
Like, Batman Beyond is like one of my favorite Batman series.
Yeah, the whole episode weird, where the Joker resurrected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a movie.
Yeah. Well, I guess that was a movie, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was really good. We'll talk. Actually get to that
now,
here in a bit.
Is that... Did, like, the same guy voice Bruce Wayne in Batman Beyond?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I always, and I, what, it was the very end of the 90s when Batman Beyond came out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was.
Like early 2000s?
Yeah, it was, I think, shortly after the new Batman Superman cartoon aired.
Okay.
Because that was, I think, getting ready to end, so they brought in Batman Beyond, so that way there was still a cartoon on.
Which I really, really enjoyed that one. Mm-hmm. I don't know, I just...
It was a quality show.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot, but yeah, it definitely got more of its influence from the newer series.
Right.
But that was, again, that was really good. It was just a little bit different.
Yeah.
And I think some of the character designs were a little off-putting, but they still kept
the tone. They were trying to make it futuristic.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
True. And the skies were always red for some reason, like bright red.
Pollution. Maybe.
Maybe.
It's possible. But I enjoyed the fact that, you know, it was a bat suit that was pretty much mechanical.
Yeah, he was just Iron Man.
I mean, yeah. At that point, it was... I think that's one of the reasons I liked it more was the fact that it's like, okay, the, you know, he's got a super suit.
Yeah, this makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like I've said, you know, I don't know if I just love Batman if they made a couple changes to it, but I would be fine with Batman literally having pretty much any item he needed at any time if they just said he had a magical utility belt. If they just said, yeah, it's each pocket's got a little mini dimensional space that he can just kind of like, you know, pick and choose whatever he wants out of the stuff real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, you know, it's like if they did that, I'd be fine with it. And obviously magic exists in the DC universe.
Yeah.
I mean, because otherwise you wouldn't have Zatanna.
Another one of my favorite episodes.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, the Batman of this universe trained to be a magician with
Zatara.
Zatara. Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he was just being a magician, then not an actual magic guy. But
right.
He trained with him.
Yeah. So I mean, it's like if they're just like Batman. He uses magic, and magic one of Superman's like only weaknesses other than kryptonite,
pretty much. Yeah.
So it's like obviously magic exists in this world.
Right.
Just say he has a magical utility belt, and I would be cool with a lot of the stuff. I mean, I don't know if I'd just be like, "Oh, Batman's my favorite," but I would like him a lot more at that point.
That's fair.
It would be cool if he did magic.
Well, I'm not worried about him actually doing.
I just want him to do magic. This is something like, switching topics because I'm a Marvel fanboy. Something that they've done a little bit with Beast from the past, who's been taken to the future, current X-Men universe stuff, is he's like, you know what? My Beast, my future me, is really good at science, but he kind of hates his life and everything sucks. I'm going to work on magic a little bit. So
I did read this issue where I was hanging out with Doctor Strange.
Yeah, so he's actually learning magic. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like
that. That makes sense.
That's an interesting take.
Yeah.
But also, like, you know, going back to the DC world.
Right. Where we belong, apparently.
A lot of the characters that I do actually really like tend to be more magic users, because Raven's my favorite DC character.
Right.
Which, obviously, does magic!
Basically, Raven is girl Batman with magic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Same broody attitude.
Yep.
And,
yeah, except for her dad's not dead. It's just
right.
the
he's just the devil.
Demon. No.
Yeah, she still has daddy issues, just much different.
Worse.
Yeah. So, but I like that you mentioned the whole he trained to be a magician,
right?
Because he uses those skills to disappear like
that. Oh yeah. Yeah, I mean the whole banishing stuff, which and of course like everything Batman they always do that, but I love how people are talking to him and then he's just gone,
right?
Mm-hmm. And Commissioner Gordon even treats it like a joke eventually. Like, you see him fed up in early episodes, and he's just like, I knew that was going to happen.
Yeah.
Because there was one of the times, like, he noticed Batman was gone and just kept talking anyway. He's like, blah, blah, blah. And that's just like,
I'm
okay.
sure you're still listening.
Yep. I do like Commissioner Gordon in this show. Him and Bullock are so great.
They should have done a thing where, like, Commissioner Gordon turns away and starts talking, and then he turns back and is like, oh, you're still here.
Yeah.
That would have been funny.
I was not expecting that.
I wasn't done talking to you yet.
But, no, on the whole training to be a magician thing,
right.
I like that you see snippets of his pre-Batman life, but they never show his origin.
No.
And that was, like, I think one of their mandates of the show is, like, we... are not you see his origin in the movie. We're not going to touch it.
No point of it.
Oh yeah, and they've only beaten that dead horse a million times in every rendition of Batman already. So I mean, it's like,
but we
don't need. We all know that his parents are dead,
right?
And that was a tragic thing, and that led to him becoming Batman.
Yeah.
And do we need to see it in everything for it? No.
No. And I think the fact that we don't see it makes it so much more powerful,
right?
Especially when you get those glimpses. And you see, you don't see, of course, him as a child very much.
No.
But you see him younger. You see him. You see some of the training that happens.
I do like that in the Batman Superman crossover episode they have, they didn't make peace with each other by finding out both their names are Martha.
their
mom's names are Martha.
Nope. And that is one of my favorite moments in the entire show, is where. Superman uses his X-ray vision to see who
Bruce Wayne, and then like he goes home, and Batman's like a mile away looking through a telescope and sees he's Clark Kent.
Yep,
because
I love that so much.
Because you know, donning glasses all of a sudden changes exactly what you look like.
Although I do really like the Justice League episode where Lex Luthor takes over the Flash's body and takes off his mask, and he's like, "Fine, I'm going to see who you are." He looks in the mirror. He's like, "I have no idea who this is,"
because the Flash isn't famous.
Nope.
Yeah,
he's Wally West in that too.
Yeah,
so he's really not famous. Nope.
That was a great moment.
Yeah.
But no, another instance where we see a little bit more of Batman's origin.
Right.
Mask of the Phantasm.
Oh yeah.
I could do an entire episode just about this movie, but I just want to touch on it very briefly. As much as I love The Dark Knight, I still think this is probably the best theatrical Batman film.
Yeah.
I've seen it.
I remember it being very intense for a young child to watch
It was.
I'm like, ooh, Batman cartoon. Mm-hmm. Oh my god.
I should probably watch this.
Yeah, it's very intense.
Yeah, I'd be happy to let you borrow it. It's I mean, if you're enjoying watching the first season, it's so good.
Mm-hmm. Might as well.
Because it's definitely the most, I would say the most tragic, just because of it explores, him, what his life could have been had he not taken the vow to
the Batman.
Yeah, exactly. And it also has a really good score. Like, I've listened to the soundtrack so many times.
Yep.
It's just, it's so good. But yeah, that was pretty much what I had. I guess, actually, no, I'm sorry. We should talk a little bit more about the spinoffs.
True.
And
it had a lot of spinoffs and stuff.
It did have a lot. It had a lot that had nothing to do with Batman.
Right.
Like what?
Well, Superman, I believe, was the first one.
Yep.
But Static Shock
was
actually a Batman spinoff.
Oh, that's a Batman spinoff?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I can't remember if it was Batman Beyond or what, but... Somewhere Static showed up.
Yeah.
And
I think it was Batman Beyond.
He did.
I want to say.
There was an episode of Justice League in which they travel to the future and they, I think Static Shock was a member of the Future Justice League in that point. Mm-hmm. Was that one of, is that a thing?
Maybe. Probably. I'd have to research.
There's so much.
It's been a long time since I've seen that show.
Because, mm-hmm. again, Justice League was kind of a spinoff of this Batman, because it's basically, it's the same universe.
So the Justice League and Justice League Unlimited?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and those Batman are
Beyond.
Yeah, this was like the start of a shared, the first shared DC universe.
Yep.
Because Superman, of course, was canon.
Right.
Batman Beyond is eventually canon.
Right.
There was a spinoff of that show called The Zeta Project, which was
I've heard of it. I've never seen it.
It was about a robot who teams up with a teenage girl and they go on like adventures.
Sounds fun.
It was a fun show. I don't remember too much about it, but I remember the character in Batman Beyond being really cool. I'm like, oh, I'd love to see him in more shows. And then they give him a show.
Nice.
Huh.
Yeah, it had a lot of spinoffs, a lot of continuations, a lot of...
Which I like that. You know, mm-hmm. instead of just being like, oh, we're going to go a completely different direction and start this other new cartoon. It's like, oh, that'd be cool if they had Marvel something to do with each other.
Spider-Man
mm-hmm.
over and over again.
Yeah.
Or Avengers, even, over and over again.
Yeah.
I really liked Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
I do, too.
I had to get rid of it. Oh, well.
Yeah. So, it's a shame that they don't do... Like, they have their whole animated universe, and right. I think they have some that are loosely tied.
Yeah.
Like, I think Crisis on Two Earths was actually intended to be...
Yes.
...part of the Justice League
show.
Unlimited canon. But then they brought in, they had Hal Jordan instead of John Stewart.
Right.
And then they decided to change it up. And that had, they didn't have any of the voice actors. They had actors who really shouldn't be voicing those characters.
I know that the movies, like when they did the Flashpoint movie, everything mm-hmm. that's after that is supposed to be the Flashpoint universe. Because even though, like, you know how in the comics, Flashpoint happened, everything was all canon, Flashpoint happened, and then New 52 started.
Yeah.
My understanding is that when they did the Flashpoint movie, all the cartoon movies were basically the New 52 of the movie universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And before that, a lot of the movies were all supposed to be in the same universe, too. It's just that's why mm-hmm. at that point a lot of it changed, is my understanding.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And now that there's the New 52 is gone, I think they've they're just doing whatever. Because supposedly the Batman Harley movie
mm-hmm.
that has the same actors. Well, it's got a couple. It's same got Batman and Robin,
style almost,
and it's the same animation style.
Hmm.
But it apparently has a scene where Nightwing and Harley Quinn hook up,
which would not be in my '90s cartoon.
Nope, that's super dumb. And I think it's the, like the one thing that's keeping me from wanting to watch that.
Right,
it's because that doesn't make any sense. No. We don't need to see Batman have relations with Batgirl or Nightwing getting with Harley Quinn.
No.
Almost a Joker. I don't want to see that here.
Any of the above.
No. Just don't. Make them sexless.
Yeah. They're sexless superheroes.
Exactly.
If I wanted to see someone boning down all the time, I'd make a Daredevil cartoon. Because he bones down all the time.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I was like, what?
I missed that.
Apparently. He's been voted like the biggest slut in all of the Marvel Universe.
Oh.
Daredevil.
Huh.
Yeah, he gets with almost everybody.
I would have thought
I think
Hawkeye.
It's the blind thing. No?
Yeah.
I think it's the blind thing makes people think he's more vulnerable than he actually is. You know? More of a. Because he has to touch people's faces more, and that's sensual. So.
Yeah. I guess so.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Because he's faking being blind. Let's all admit it. Devil is faking being blind.
Well, I mean, he is technically blind, but he's got other senses that basically lets him see.
Yeah, he can see, basically. He's a faker.
Yeah.
He's not even a real lawyer.
Maybe colorblind. That's about it.
He's very, very nearsighted.
Yeah.
And a jerk.
Dead eyes cool, though.
He's very... Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's awesome. No, that's. I think that was everything spinoff wise.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a couple other movies. Like there was the Batman Sub Zero, which was Mr. Freeze.
Right.
And then they did the Return of the Joker for Batman Beyond, which was super.
Actually, really, I like
super dark.
I really like that one.
But yeah, it was dark but effective.
Yeah.
Not like bleak and terrible, yeah, like other stuff. And
basically, the Joker reappeared in Batman Beyond at a much younger age than he should be, but he was also dead in that canon up to that point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they found out that what happened is at one point the Joker captured Tim Drake and brainwashed him and even implanted some sort of weird, like, gene virus or something in him.
Yep, he put comic book technology in him.
That when it eventually triggered 20 years in the future or whatever, transformed Tim Drake into the Joker.
Oh. But he wasn't aware of it.
Yeah.
Like, it's
he was a werewolf Joker, basically.
Yep. It's completely ludicrous sci-fi, but it's strangely good.
Yeah, it's real interesting. And we see Grandma Harley Quinn in that movie.
Yep.
She's a grandma of twin girls. That, you know, the two twin girls that are in the Joker gang in Batman Beyond?
Mm-hmm.
She's their grandmother.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she's very upset that they're in the Joker gang.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's a flashback in the movie, probably the best scene in the entire film, where you see younger Batman and Batgirl, and you see their final confrontation, and it's left to the viewer to think Harley Quinn dies.
Right.
And it's like, oh, that's really sad. But then it turns out, nope, she's fine.
She's fine.
She just left crime and got old.
Yep. Had some kids.
Yep.
At least one.
Because
they're her grandkids, so she at least had one kid to have grandkids.
Very true.
Who knows how many.
Yep. Really good movie.
It's a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
The moral of the story is watch all the stuff.
Yeah.
Batman animated stuff, pretty good.
Three
Batman
thumbs
Batman live
up.
Action stuff, take it or leave it.
Three thumbs up from me.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Yeah. Yep. On a scale of 1 to 10, I give it...
Three thumbs up.
11 cans of Bat Sharker Belly.
Yep.
So, no, it makes me want to watch more. Right. Like, I got a thirst of it just watching a couple episodes.
I really
want
to watch that the Return of the Joker movie now.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really good one.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I need to watch some of the movies. I've not seen any of those.
No, they're all good. I don't think there's a bad episode. Some are better than others, but I don't think there's a bad one.
I can't think of any. I mean, I don't think I'd memorize the bad ones, but I can't think of any.
Right, that's fair. So, no, that's my recommendation, is watch all of the series. Apparently it's coming to Blu-ray, so you can probably buy it fairly inexpensive.
Who knows?
I don't think I'm going to rebuy it, just because I've got them all, but...
Right.
Makes sense.
Yeah. I actually probably will upgrade Mask of the Phantasm, just because...
It's logical.
It's freaking good.
Yeah. Sound quality upgrade, maybe, for the Blu-ray, so that'd be good.
Yep. Listen to that score booming at me.
Yep.
I'd be all, oh, yeah, that sounds good. I'm going to do that.
Yep.
But that is our episode on Batman, the animated series. I've actually been looking forward to this one for a while. So I'm glad we finally did it. Thank you guys for indulging me on this.
Yeah, not a problem.
Next week, assuming we can get around to seeing it, will be our Justice League review.
Right.
Yeah.
I've heard a little bit of early buzz.
I haven't heard anything.
Yeah, I haven't really paid attention.
Face, he's making a face that doesn't look good.
No, I heard something really positive about it.
Oh, good.
So I'm very confused.
Good.
Like, I'm not expecting it to be good.
I'm going into this expecting it to just be hot, multiple day old, smelly garbage.
Me too. Okay. Me too.
But, you know, I will gladly be happily surprised if it is good.
Does one of the garbage bags run up to a different garbage bag and say, "My mom's name is Martha"? <scenario?
laughs> No, they're utter garbage and trash, but they're not that bad.
Right. Does one of the garbage bags have a jar of pee that will somehow kill you?
Probably.
Okay. That movie sucks.
Oh God, it really did.
There's this video I tweeted out today.
I saw that. I haven't watched it yet.
You should watch it. It's hilarious.
It was dumb.
I mean,
there was like two parts that I thought were humorous.
Go to my Twitter. If
what's your Twitter?
At the Cody Whack.
At the Cody Whack. I posted it yesterday in your world, today in our world. it's a video brought to you by How This Should Have Ended.
Oh, I do like that stuff.
It's not their regular How It Should Have Ended, but it is.
It's one of their dub videos.
They dubbed over the faces. Like, they took Batman vs. Superman and they dubbed over the mouths and did their own dialogue for it.
Oh, is it like bad lip lip reading, kind of like that.
No, they changed the mouths altogether.
Oh, so. Okay. Oh, that's good too.
It's just a nice short video that reminds you everything that happened in Batman vs. Superman, but quicker, easier, and funnier. So it's something good to watch before Justice League.
Fair enough. I probably won't have time for much else. I was going to try to squeeze in Wonder Woman. I might still try to do that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I do Wonder like Wonder
Woman is a good movie, actually.
It is a good movie.
I enjoyed that movie.
Yeah.
But this can replace your Batman vs. Superman. It'll hit all the points, because there were points in this video that I forgot about being in the movie.
Nice. So. Okay. Definitely give that a shot. So you can, if you have a favorite moment, favorite episode from the show, if you have anything that you want to hear us talk about, we do have kind of an open schedule from now, apart from next week, from now through the end of the year.
Right.
Probably going to do a Star Wars episode. I feel like we should.
Oh, yeah. No, we are.
So
we just haven't written it down on the calendar yet.
Nope. And we haven't figured out what we're exactly going to talk about.
Probably Star Wars.
Probably Star Wars.
If I had to guess, Star Wars.
It'll be a three-part.
Maybe all of December should just be Star Wars themed. Since that's when the new Star Wars comes out.
I like it, so...
We'll talk about it.
Well, yeah, we'll discuss.
If you're listening, let us know what you think it should be.
Yeah, if you have ideas for topics, stuff you haven't heard us talk about...
We can go broad canon, too.
Yeah, exactly. We can talk all sorts of stuff. We can even talk weird, funky spin-off things that aren't even actually spin-offs, but, you know... Trying to think of the word, like a parody. Yeah, parody.
Parodies.
Like Spaceballs.
Spaceballs. Oh, yeah.
So good.
Okay.
But anyway. All right.
Let's end this.
Yes, let us know what you want to hear. We are at Nerd Dump Podcast on the Twitter. We're also on Facebook. You can hit us up directly if you like. I'm at Cameron Keeper.
I'm at The Cody Whack.
And I'm at Viking Oni.
So that's our episode. Thanks for listening, and have an awesome week.
Bye.
This has been a Nerd Dump production.